This is really hard to say. I hereby resign my position as state representative effective this Friday, January 24th at 5 p.m.
Representative Beth Curtula leaves the legislature for an ocean policy fellowship at Stanford. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly from Juneau for Tuesday, January 21st. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, lawmakers set the agenda for the legislative session.
Probably number one priority is to try to look at education and try to come up with a long-term fix.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by
Northern Air Cargo. Since 1956, Alaskans have entrusted Northern Air Cargo to transport their freight. Thank you, Alaska, for the opportunity to serve you for decades to come.
And by
the 2014 statewide BP Teachers of Excellence Program. Teacher nomination forms are available at bpteachers.com.
The State House gaveled into the second session of the 28th Legislature at 1 p.m. today with this short statement from House Speaker and Kenai Republican Mike Chenault.
The House is in session and ready to do business.
The Senate followed suit about an hour later. Usually the first day of the legislature is reserved for meetings and ceremonial duties. But today's floor session came with big news. House Minority Leader Beth Curtula will be resigning from her seat. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
The Juneau Democrat made the announcement during the first House floor session of the year, saying she has been chosen for an ocean policy fellowship at Stanford University.
It's really hard to leave this quickly. It wasn't the way I would like to do this. I know it's going to cause some hardship and it's going to cause some hard feelings. My hope is that people will know that this seat will be filled by somebody incredibly capable. There's a long line of people after 15 years.
Her resignation is effective January 24th, and she will start her fellowship in California on February 3rd. The Democrats chose Representative Chris Tuck of Anchorage to replace her as their new minority leader. He has previously served as the minority's whip. Democrats are also expected to shuffle their committee assignments because of the vacancy, with Tuck leaving House Resources and Scott Kawasaki of Fairbanks taking his spot. Curtula was first elected in 1998, and she has served as minority leader since 2006. During her time in the legislature, she championed the now-defunct Coastal Management Program and sponsored legislation curbing cruise ship pollution.
Oceans have been part of my life for a long time, from my work at the Attorney General's office to just living in coastal Alaska to being honored to sponsor the first cruise ship bill, and I've always had a special place in my heart for these issues.
After Curtula departs the legislature, Juneau Democratic Party officials will provide Governor Sean Parnell with a list of nominees for the seat. Parnell then has 30 days to make an appointment. The House minority will only have 9 members during the vacancy period, but they need 10 members to be officially recognized as a caucus according to the legislature's internal rules. Official recognition means committee assignments, extra staff members, and money for travel. House Speaker Mike Chenault says the majority plans to keep the minority's privileges in place, even though they are not obligated to.
It's my intention to still recognize them, still allow them to have their current seats on committees, knowing that, hopefully in a short time, the Democrats put someone forward that the governor can agree to, that the legislature can approve of. And they'll be back to their 10.
Curtula is the second Democrat the House minority has lost during the 28th legislature. Last January, Lindsay Holmes of Anchorage changed her party affiliation to Republican. In Juneau, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
With Curtula's resignation, the Democrats will have a new leadership team in the legislature. Hollis French took over as Senate Minority Leader from Johnny Ellis in a prearranged deal this session, and now Chris Tuck will become Minority Leader in the House. Representative Tuck says the Democrats are ready to move forward without Curtula.
I mean, we have a great team of people put together with the new member that may be coming on in Representative Curtula's place. That'll make us about 50% new members. And so we have an exciting group of people with a lot of great ideas for the state, a lot of fresh faces. And I think that going forward, you're going to see a new type of caucus.
You mentioned realigning your ideas, your priorities. What would that involve?
Well, we want to make sure that we provide jobs for all Alaskans, and not just any jobs, but good-paying jobs. And we're concerned about the deficits that we're facing here in the future, because that may cripple our economy. So we're trying to protect that, protect the revenues for the state of Alaska. We also want to make sure that our economy is just continues forward, and that part of that economy, a big part of that economy, is energy and a good, solid education for future generations.
Senator French, let's talk a little bit about the deficits. Where do you think the state should be cutting?
You know, it's a constant exercise to keep downward pressure on the growth of government. And I think we've lost some of those muscles of the last few years because of surpluses. You know, you just sort of lose that ability to always look as hard as possible at every single line of the budget. This year, I expect the budget process to be as rigorous as it's ever been.
The state has a new gas line deal. During the Murkowski administration, similar ideas of an ownership share were discussed. Do you think this agreement will be different, Senator French?
We've got a long way to go, and I was here when that contract was negotiated. I have seen what happens when you try to negotiate your way to a gas pipeline deal with the oil industry, and the results the last time were so horrific they never even came up for a vote. Even the Republicans in the legislature saw that contract and couldn't stomach bringing it to a vote. It was so one-sided. So I hope that we get a different result this time, but I think, like many Alaskans, have lost some faith in the Parnell administration's ability to negotiate fairly on their behalf, having seen what happened just last year with the oil tax giveaway.
Do you have plans for what you might like to see and what you'll suggest?
You know, we're going to go back to certain must-haves. You have to have a structure that allows nimble new players to come to the North Slope, to invest there, and then most importantly, to be able to get their gas into that pipeline and down to the terminus on terms that are fair and allow them to make a profit. What we've seen in the oil industry side is some control, some basin control, that makes it more difficult for new players to come and get their oil into the pipeline. The tariffs can be so exacting and so high on new players that it's tough for them to make a profit. You've got to have those mid-sized companies and smaller companies exploring aggressively beyond the big three to make it really work.
You've lost the fight to raise the base student allocation. Do you have any reason to think that it will be different this year, Senator French?
I think that the negative effects of flat funding are now trickling into the classroom. In today's Anchorage Daily News, we see that the school district is looking at a $23 million deficit and the need to cut as many as 200 jobs. You can't get there cutting custodians and people that stock the storerooms. We're down to cutting teachers. And that creates an enormous constituency of parents who are extremely upset about the quality of their children's education. When it's just us politicians here in Juneau, you know, making noise, that's one thing. But when you have thousands of affected people from Juneau to Ketchikan to Kotzebue making noise, that's different. And that creates a political wave that we hope to harness.
And are you hearing a lot from constituents? Are they coming in and sending letters and weighing in enough that you think that pressure will build?
Representative Tuck and I recently attended a pre-session caucus of a gathering of the Anchorage legislators in the Anchorage Assembly Chambers. And of the 100 people that testified, I think 90 of them mentioned increasing education funding. So I think there's a groundswell coming on this.
Representative Tuck, a recent task force report recommended cutting education funding. How do you help people understand what the issue is, and what's your reaction to this report?
Well, I haven't gone through the report. I did hear that they did recommend cutting. But, you know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to invest in early education, because the remediation that we're spending is costing so much. So once you start off early in a child's education, and once you get parents involved early, they tend to stay involved and their successes are much better off. And you don't wait until they get into third grade to start remediating, because by the time you get to third grade, the costs go up. And once a student goes in remediation programs, you almost never get them out. So the goal is to invest early and make sure that the teachers have the resources they need to be able to start our students off right from the beginning.
House Minority Leader Chris Tuck and Senate Minority Leader Hollis French talking about the legislative session this morning. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, the Anchorage School District says it will cut 6% of classroom teachers.
These reductions are unprecedented, unlike anything I've seen in my 23 years in the Anchorage School District.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska's public schools have new standards in English and math, setting high expectations for students. Students who meet these goals will be ready for success after high school, whether in the military, on the job, or in an apprenticeship, technical school, or college. Ask your school for parent guides to the standards or learn more online at education.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
As lawmakers begin the 90-day session, House Speaker Mike Chenault and Senate President Charlie Huggins say there is just one must-pass bill this session, the budget. But the majority party has other items on their agenda, along with a commitment to fiscal restraint. I asked Speaker Chenault to outline his priorities.
Probably number one priority is to try to look at education and try to come up with a long-term fix that addresses education needs for children across the state. Number two will probably be the governor's new proposal, which we haven't necessarily seen yet, legislation in regards to gas pipelines. And, you know, there's a number of other issues out there, whether it's workers' comp, whether it's the budget, you know, and the budget is will be the one of the top three that we deal with, not only the operating budget, but the capital budget.
Senator Huggins, what are your thoughts on the new gas line agreement that the governor has put forward?
I've been here since 2003, and the speaker's been here longer than that I have, but it's the closest I think we've been to actually having a gas pipeline materialize. And so I'm very optimistic in that respect. There are lots of challenges, and I hope Alaskans come forward with their questions so that we can answer those up front. So I'm comfortable. And for those people that like Norway, this is not unlike because they have a company that's a government company as part. So we as a state, under the concept, would be investing. We would be a stakeholder. We would be at the table, which is important for the state because we will have knowledge of the information, whether it's what's going to happen on the North Slope, what's going to happen in conveying the gas down to the Kenai Peninsula and other places along the way. And, oh, by the way, the liquefaction plant, and there won't be any, quote, secrets from us in the legislature. We're most important, the people of Alaska. And, quite frankly, I hope that I'm supporting a technique whereby you and I, as individuals, a guy named Charlie Huggins, and it doesn't matter who you work for, that you can raise your hand and say, I'm checked off my permanent fund dividend. I want it to be invested in that pipeline because I want a long-term revenue source coming to me.
All of the pre-filed bills this session don't come with big or really any price tags. Have you told members of your caucus to rein in their desires and their spending and keep a tighter state budget in mind when crafting legislation, Senator Huggins?
Well, I haven't told them that directly. These are wise people, and I think we all come to generally speaking the same conclusion, but when you work backwards from what the revenue stream is based on the failure of ACEs, then I think people come. We come to the same conclusion. So, but we did remind people that when you're doing a piece of legislation and it has a fiscal note, that has bearing on what the status of the bill could be. A good idea, but it may cost too much, and so good ideas sometimes are not affordable. So yeah, we had that conversation, I guess.
Representative Chenault?
And we haven't had that. You know, I mean, we haven't specifically had that conversation. I think most of my members realize that. You know, we're in times of budget constraint that we want to try to control the budget. And but if they think and if they feel strong enough that they have a piece of legislation that helps Alaskans and helps move Alaska forward, even with a fiscal note to it, they may introduce it and still try to get it through. So, you know, it's up to our process to move bills through and the finance to figure out if we've got the money to pay for it. And if we don't have the money to pay for it, then that's another conversation that we'll have to have. So I'm a firm believer that we pass as few bills as we can, just simply because every piece of legislation we pass usually takes a ride away from somebody.
Would you be open, speaking of spending, would you be open to an increase in the base student allocation for education? Senator Huggins?
Yeah, number one, for myself as an individual, and I say up front, my wife is a charter school principal, but I was on the school board once upon a time. My number one priority approaching things has been education, because it's the future of our country. We're not doing very well at that. So am I open to base student allocation? I'm always open to that. But more important, I'm more open to techniques that, in fact, move the needle of achievement. Ever how you do that, and it's not the technique, it's about outcome.
So you're open to the idea of an increase if necessary?
Open to anything that aids in ratcheting up our achievement of our students.
Representative Chenault, what are your thoughts about base student allocation increases?
Well, you know, I think that that's something that we need to look at, and it's unfortunate that base student allocation, or BSA, is a real easy term for reporters or other people around the state to use. There's a lot more that goes into education than just what that dollar amount is in the BSA. There's lots of money that is currently outside of that BSA that takes pressure off of money going into the classrooms. It's unfortunate, but it's been sold that if there's not an increase to the BSA, then that means you're taking money out of the classroom, and that's just simply not true. So while I agree that education of our children is one of the most important things that we can do, I don't agree that the BSA is the only way to fix it.
Representative Chenault, you're from the Kenai Peninsula, mm-hmm. and Senator Huggins, you're from Wasilla. Both of your bodies of constituents are very invested in the strength of salmon runs in South Central. Do you have plans to delve into fish politics this session?
You know, it's never been my intention to ever get into fish politics. You know, I come from the lower Mat-Su, and Charlie comes from the upper Kenai. And so, while we may have our differences of opinion, I don't think that fish politics ever plays well, or allocation issues ever play well in the legislature. You know, we have biologists, we have a fish board, and while I may or may not agree with whatever comes out of these type meetings, my hope is that they have the biology of the salmon in mind whenever they're making these decisions. You know, I represent commercial fishermen, sports fishermen, subsistence fishermen, and PU fishermen, and I represent them all. And the only way that we won't ever get anywhere fighting about it, where we'll make headway, is sitting down and talking about it and figuring out a way to move forward.
House Speaker Mike Chenault and Senate President Charlie Huggins. Tomorrow, we'll hear from Governor Sean Parnell, who says his top three priorities for the session are education, the gas line, and the unfunded PERS-TERS pension fund liability.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Crowley. Celebrating 60 years in Alaska, Crowley knows Alaska and uses that experience to deliver project solutions from concept to completion. More at CrowleyAlaska.com. Since 1978, the Older Persons Action Group has been the publisher of Senior Voice, Alaska's only statewide newspaper for older Alaskans and their families. They now offer a digital version online at SeniorVoiceAlaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG. The State of Alaska Department of Revenue reminds you to file online now for your 2014 PFD and consider sharing a portion of your dividend through Pick, Click, Give or contributing to a college savings plan. This message sponsored by the State of Alaska.
The superintendent of the Anchorage School District announced today a plan for trimming $23 million. The cuts are mostly the result of several years of flat funding from the state of Alaska that does not keep up with inflation and cuts to federal grant programs along with rising health care costs. The district will cut more than 200 positions, including classroom teachers. KSKA's Daisha Eaton has the story.
Everyone knew the cuts were coming, but they became real as Superintendent Ed Graff stepped up to the podium in the Anchorage School District boardroom to talk about the details. With a heavy voice, he put it like this.
These reductions are unprecedented, unlike anything I've seen in my 23 years in the Anchorage School District. For the last 2 years, we faced budget gaps of $19 and $25 million. This year, we face a $23 million budget gap, having to restructure, reduce, and eliminate positions to address the gaps of this magnitude every single year, make it difficult to gain traction, and jeopardizes our momentum to support the success of our students.
Graff recommended cutting 219 positions, more than half of them teaching positions. Administration and support positions will also be eliminated. Over the course of the past 4 years, the district says it's reduced its budget by nearly 500 full-time equivalent positions, which amounts to roughly 718 employees. That doesn't include the positions slated for elimination in the coming year. Graff says the district will also change the school day for high schools and middle schools.
In an effort to offset the loss of teaching positions but still provide opportunities for students, the district is proposing to move comprehensive high schools from a 6-period to a 7-period schedule. Middle schools are already on a 7-period schedule, but teachers will move to teaching 6 of 7 with the elimination of the middle school team planning time.
Graff says the student-teacher ratio will go up. Specialty counselors, which were spared last year, are on the chopping block again. Non-staff cuts include sports travel and classroom materials, while student activity fees are expected to go up. ASD School Board President Tam Agosti-Giesler says the impacts of the budget shortfall are deeply concerning. She says the board is calling the community to action and explained that concerned citizens should press legislators to increase the base student allocation and find a long-term formula to fund education sustainably.
At the very least, we would like to have the BSA inflation-proofed and help from the legislature on our biggest cost drivers, which are health care insurance and the unfunded retirement liability.
Graff will present the proposed budget to the Anchorage School Board in the Anchorage Education Center boardroom Thursday at 4 p.m. Public testimony will be taken and the school board will vote on the budget. Graff says he'll issue pink slips in May. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eden.
Is Alaska's economy grounded? That's the big question facing two economists who spoke at two business and government leaders in Juneau last week as part of the World Trade Center Alaska's annual statewide economic forecast talk. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Marcus Hartley ticks off how many jobs he expects various industries in Alaska to gain or lose in 2014.
We see natural resources going up by 200 jobs. Transportation and utilities going up by a little bit, 100 jobs. These are not big numbers, but they're some winners.
Hartley is a senior economist with Anchorage-based consultants Northern Economics. He says other winners include healthcare, retail, and tourism. And then there are the losers.
Here's my sector, professional business services. We're saying that sector is going to be hit pretty hard by government cutbacks. And then government is also very likely to lose jobs. So total change, a whopping 450 jobs increase. Not too bad, but really, if we're in a big recovery, where's all the jobs, dude?
Hartley says reductions in state and federal spending, as well as the continued decline of North Slope oil production, were behind a state economy that slowed in 2013. After several years of growth, he says Alaska's gross state product, a measure of total economic output, declined about $2 billion last year to $51 billion. He predicts it will be down another $1.8 billion this year to $49.2 billion.
So the question is, are we grounded?
Hartley didn't give a yes or no answer to that question, but he did say Northern Economics computer models painted an even bleaker picture of the state's economic future.
We basically threw out our models this year because it was pessimistic. And we just didn't feel like the world was, you know, going to jump off a cliff.
World Trade Center Alaska Executive Director Greg Wolf painted a more bullish picture of the state's economy. In 2013, he said companies operating in Alaska exported about $4.5 billion worth of goods and services overseas. He expects a similar amount this year.
Trade represents new money coming into the economy. It sustains and results in thousands of both direct and indirect jobs. The overall effect, of course, it results in a stronger, more diversified economy for our state.
In the past 20 years, Wolf says Alaska exports have more than doubled from about $2 billion per year to between $4.5 and $5 billion.
I think this sort of demonstrates that exports have been a pretty consistent part of the economy and also a quietly growing part of the economy.
Wolf says Alaska's biggest trade partners are in Asia. China buys about 28% of the goods exported from the state. Japan is second at 16%, followed by South Korea, Canada, and Singapore. Seafood makes up about 50% of Alaska exports, followed by minerals and precious metals at 34%, energy, including liquefied natural gas, coal, and refined fuels at 8%, and timber at 4%. The Juneau Chamber of Commerce hosted the statewide economic forecast talk, which has been held in the capital city for the past 7 years. The economists were in Fairbanks earlier this week and will be in Anchorage on February 4th. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And that's all for this Juneau edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Dacia Eaton in Anchorage and Casey Kelly in Juneau. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reported from Juneau. Our editor and producer is Annie Feit. Josh Edge is our web producer. Our Anchorage audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Kevin Hurtley engineered from Juneau. And thanks to everyone at KTOO for supporting Alaska News Nightly's On the Road broadcast. I'm Lori Townsend. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
ConocoPhillips. The easy oil is gone, and getting to the remaining oil will be a challenge that will require the state and the industry to work together. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. An artist is a person who expresses themselves creatively through words, images, sounds, materials, or original performance. If you are an artist, you might be eligible for funding to support your creative work. March 1st is the deadline to apply for an individual artist award. Visit Rasmussen Foundation on Facebook or on the web at rasmussen.org for more information. This message sponsored by Rasmussen Foundation. A message to parents from the Alaska Department of Education. Learning to read is the basis for all future learning. Parents can help their children get off to a good start as readers. Read with your young children every day. Do lots of talking with your kids. Make up stories together. Play games with words like rhyming games. Encourage your kids to write and draw stories and ask your school how you can help your children become good readers. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Education.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.